Our lesson this morning is entitled, God Doesn't Have Openings for Part-Time Christians. You know, a lot of us at one time or another in our lives have had a part-time job where we just go and work a few hours a week or, you know, a couple hours a day or something like that to get a little extra money, maybe in addition to a full-time job that we had. But when it comes to Christianity, God doesn't have any openings that are part-time. It doesn't work that way. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work nor device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, make the most of the time you have while you're alive, because you can't do it when you're dead. Colossians 3:17, Paul says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So he tells us everything that we do, every day, all day, needs to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is never a time when we can say, I'm not going to be a Christian right now. And yet many people do that very thing. Colossians 3:23, the scripture that was read a moment ago in your hearing. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. This applies even, you know, even on our secular job. We need to realize, yes, we have an earthly boss that's over us. Someone that hired us, that pays our bills, that pays our check. But we need to remember that when we're working, even on those jobs, we're working for the Lord. And we need to work like it. A lot of us would work a lot better on our jobs if we realized that we're working for the Lord instead of working for that old so-and-so that we don't like. We've got to remember. And in this section of Scripture, in Colossians 3, Paul is also talking, he's even talking to slaves who had masters. They weren't even free. And he says, but you go ahead, you know, regardless. And he talks in one place to those slaves. He says, even if your master is not a good master, you show your Christianity. You serve as you should serve, regardless of how that person treats you. We've got to realize that Christianity is a 24/7, 365 job. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. All the time. There are no vacations. There are no sick days. There are no personal days to take off. There's no clocking in and clocking out. It's all the time. Now, there are not many jobs in the world that are that way. Most of the jobs that we have a time when we're at work and a time when we're off work. There are a few exceptions to that. And we're going to look at some of those things that the Bible talks about that are jobs that are in some ways exceptions to that idea of being at work or not at work. They're jobs that are all the time. We can't work part-time because we are, first of all, soldiers. The Bible describes us as soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, Paul tells Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our country is at war right now, and we have soldiers that are at war right now. Those soldiers don't get to decide when or where they go. They just go. Soldiers go when and where they are told. When you're a soldier, you don't have the choice anymore. If you disobey, what happens to you? You're arrested. You're stopped by the MPs. And they take you and throw you in with the prisoners of war from the other side. You're termed a traitor. They call it AWOL, absent without leave. You don't have the right to just take off and well, I didn't feel good today, so I didn't go in. I'm sorry, you're a soldier. You don't have that option. You don't get to decide, well, I don't want to go there. When they say go, you go. We are soldiers for Jesus Christ. We do not have the choice to say, well, today I'm not going to be a soldier for you, Lord. Do you think all of those soldiers that over that wanted to go? And some of them, there were some of them that were jumping up and down to get a chance to go. But a lot of those soldiers, they don't want to be over there. But they're doing their duty because they know as soldiers they have to go. They have to go. And the other thing about a soldier is we look at this in terms of part-time. Now they advertise the guard, you know, a weekend a month and 2 weeks a year and this kind of thing. But you know what? When it comes to war and they ship them over to Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere, it becomes 24 hours a day then. If something happens over there, it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the night and they were trying to sleep. Up, get your gun, let's go. Right now. They have to be prepared at a moment's notice to jump up and go. They're soldiers for Jesus. We have to be prepared at all times. Because Satan is ready all the time. He's bringing the battle to us when we least expect it. He's going to attack us while we're asleep. He's going to attack us when we're resting. He's going to attack us when we're sick. And we better be ready to jump up and join the battle. Because we're at war with an enemy that never sleeps. Isn't that Satan? Satan never sleeps. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't stop the war just because it's Easter Sunday or Christmas or something like that. You know, he's often going to go all the time. And I think this particular war that our nation is in right now is maybe helping us to see that more clearly than any before. You know, always before they would have kind of ceasefires. They'd have, you know, the battle lines were clearly drawn. There were these guys in this uniform and these guys in this uniform, and they'd shoot at each other, and then there'd be a time where they, you know, they'd kind of spike off for a little while. And then they'd go back at it. But not with the terrorists that we're dealing with now. They strike all the time. You know, there was a few weeks ago where they struck while a bunch of our soldiers were sitting down to eat. And blew up a bomb in the mess hall when they were eating. This is the way Satan works. He's going to get you as soon as you let your guard down. We've got to be soldiers. We've got to be always on guard. Even when we're asleep, we need to be ready. When we get woke up, when we wake up, we need to be ready to remember immediately we're Christians. We're fighting for God. We're soldiers for Him. So we're soldiers, first of all. And so there's no room for part-time as Christians because we're soldiers. Secondly, we can't work part-time because we're ambassadors. Quinn's going to be going to be a student ambassador. Oh, I think he's going to England and France. He's going over to Europe. When you're an ambassador, all the time. He may meet somebody over there, talk to somebody over there who's never met a person from America before now. You know, you think England and France, they've probably met Americans before. But there may be somebody over there that he meets that has never met an American before. Whatever impression he makes on those people is going to be their impression of everybody in America. If he was rude to them, said mean things to them, cussed at them, or any of them, you know, things like that, they would think that's what Americans were like because he's the only American they'd ever met. But if he was kind to them, friendly, outgoing, then that's what they think Americans are like. You see, the ambassador's job is to represent the country that they come from. And the people that meet that ambassador are going to make their impression of that country based on their impression of that ambassador. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, in verses 17 through 21, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now watch verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Paul says, here we are, we're ambassadors. We're going out and we're saying, be reconciled to God. Come to God. Come back to Christ. And as his ambassadors, we have to show his righteousness in us. Notice what he said. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we need to show that forth at all times. There are probably thousands of people in the world today who will never become a Christian because some ambassador for Christ turned them off to the gospel. Now, sometimes, it probably wasn't an intentional thing, but there are people who will never become Christian because of something that someone who was a Christian, or at least who claimed to be a Christian, said or did to them. And because of something that was said or done to them, then I don't ever want to be a part of that group of people because of what that person did. You see, when you're an ambassador, that's a great responsibility. And it's a responsibility that you have all of the time. We are representatives at all times. We are representatives for God, that people might see Christ living in us. That's a great responsibility. And you see, we don't get to stop doing that whenever we want to. We can't take a vacation from that. Because even when we go to another state or to another country, we're still Christians. And we can't just say, well, I'm not going to be a Christian today. I'm not going to be an ambassador for Christ today. Because that's the very day somebody's going to be looking at you to see how you behave as a Christian. And if that's the way Christians behave, I don't want to be one of them. They're worse than the folks I live with that don't even go to church anywhere. We have to remember that it's not a part-time job being an ambassador. Third, the Bible describes us as servants, or the word doulos is used several times, which really literally means a slave, a bond servant. Galatians 1:10. Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And the word he used there is literally a slave. Someone who is in bondage to do a particular thing. Now, we don't like the idea of slavery. And why should we? We believe that as the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of our country talked about the freedom, the right to life and liberty, and the pursuit of that. And we believe in those things. We believe that all people should be free. But we have to realize that we, in order to be our freest, are going to have to be slaves to Christ. That's a different kind of slavery. You know, we had slavery in this country where people were brought into slavery against their will. They never had a choice in it. The Bible describes two or three different kinds of slavery in the Old Testament. There were some who were captured in a war and were forced to be slaves because they had been captured before. They didn't have any choice. It was against their will. There were other people who owed a debt and they couldn't pay it. So the person who they owed the debt to basically bought them. They paid the debt and they owned that person then. But then there was another type of slavery that they had in the Old Testament. And that was the type where a person could voluntarily choose to serve someone for a certain period of time. And in the Jewish nation, it was 7 years. They served them for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, after the end of the 7 years, they got to go free. But once they had made that decision to put themselves into that slavery, they were a bond servant, they had bound themselves into that agreement for 7 years, they couldn't leave for that 7 years. At the end of that 7 years, they were free to go. But they couldn't go and work for a couple of years and say, you know what? I don't like this being a servant thing. I'm going to quit. No, once they had made that decision and put themselves in that position, they were bound to it by the law. They didn't have any choice anymore. And that's the kind of servants we are for Jesus. Jesus doesn't go out and make people obey him against their will. But once we make the decision, Lord, you're going to going to be my master, I'm going to be your servant, I'm going to be your slave. We can't then just say, I changed my mind, Lord. I quit. It doesn't work that way. Slaves don't get to choose what work they do or when they do the work or when they quit. They don't get that kind of choice. That's what it means to be a slave. That's why we just don't like being slaves. That's why we dislike slavery so much, because they don't have that choice. But that's what we are for Christ. Let's look at a couple other verses. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. See, we're going to either be a servant to sin and a slave to it, or we're going to be a servant to righteousness. We've got to pick one or the other. We're going to have to be one or the other. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23. Paul says there, ye are bought with a price. Well, what was that price? The blood of Jesus. That's a pretty precious price. That's more precious than what any slave was ever sold for on the slave auction. We were bought with the blood of God's own Son. But he says, be not ye the servants of sin. Because we are bought for God, we're his servants. And you can't serve two masters, remember Jesus told us. You have to pick one or the other. Since we've been bought with a price, we serve our master who bought us with his son's blood. We don't serve men. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have a job and go to work and maybe even in a service industry where we serve somebody. Mary Ann works at the nursing home, serving people that a lot of people would not even want to see. It's a hard job. It'd be very rewarding to. A lot of people have had jobs like that. They have to serve people in their job. But that doesn't make them slaves. They still have the freedom. They quit that job and go find another job if they want to. But when we choose to be under Christ as our master, we have to do what he wants us to do. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 9, here, Paul is talking to people who were slaves in his day. They had been slaves and they had become Christians, and he's going to explain to them what they need to do to please God. Notice what he says, servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You know, if you rebel against somebody that's in authority over you, that person is not going to think very highly of you or anything you say you stand for. But if as a Christian you perform your duty admirably, they're going to see the difference, because a lot of people nowadays don't. There are a lot of people who are just trying to do the least they can do and still get paid. If they see that you go the extra mile, that you go further than duty requires, they're going to be impressed by that. They're going to wonder, what's different about this person than others? Notice what he says. Be obedient to those masters with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You see, it's hard for us to serve other people because we see their weaknesses, we see their failings, we see their faults and their problems, and it's hard for us to want to serve them. But if we remember that we are serving Christ and keep our eyes on Him, it makes it so much easier for us to serve those people who are unlikable. We can still do good to them because we know we're doing it for Christ. And then he goes on, not with eye service. That means not just when people are looking. As men pleasers. See, there are a lot of people that do that. When somebody's looking, they do good. But then as soon as they turn the other way, they're going to go back to fooling around and messing around and slacking off. He says, not as, with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then Paul turns it around and he said, has a word for those that are masters, those that are bosses. And he says to the masters, any masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. In other words, don't threaten them. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is their respective persons with him. So don't think just because you're in a position of authority here on earth that that's going to carry some extra weight with you with God in heaven. He doesn't care whether you're in a position of authority or whether you're the lowest slave. You better do what you're supposed to do. He's watching. And so he tells them, but as slaves, all the time, God owns us. He bought us. And we owe him everything that we are. All the time. You know, the slave, if the master says, go do such and such, it doesn't matter. Well, I haven't eaten my supper yet. The master doesn't care if you've eaten your supper yet. You go do what the master told you to do. Well, I just fell asleep, and it's 3 a.m. And why does it matter? You get up and you go do what the master told you. That's what it means to be a slave. When the Lord says we are his servants, his slaves, and he is our master, then we do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. This is the problem that the religious world has. The religious world wants to say, well, Lord, when you said do such and such, we did it. But when you said such and such, well, we're not going to do that because we don't like that or we don't want to do that. When you're a servant, you don't get to say, I don't want to do that. I don't do windows. I'm sorry, but I don't clean out the latrine. I don't do bathrooms. I don't clean the bathroom. I'm sorry, I don't wash dishes. You don't get to say that. You do whatever is told. And that's the problem that we have in the religious world. So many people, they forget God is the master and whatever he says goes. There's no choice. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. When was the last time you... we hear a lot about the days of slavery in this country. When was the last time you heard about a slave that got a 2-week vacation? Or even a day off? You see, as Christians, we don't get time off. We don't get to say, all right, I'm free today. I don't have anything that I have to do for God. No, every day there's something that we have to do for God. And then fourth and finally, we see that we can't work part-time because we are his creation. He created us. When you make something, you use it when and how you want to use it, don't you? And you build a cabinet. You use that cabinet the way you put what you want in the cabinet. The cabinet can't complain. You make a table. You can eat off that table, or you can stand on that table, or you can use it as a work table and saw boards on it, or hammer nails on it. You can do whatever you want to with that table because you made it. It's yours. Well, God made us, and he can do with us what he pleases. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, that before we were even born, God already had outlined the job that we're supposed to do before we even came into existence on this earth. Our job description was already written right here in the Bible. God had foreordained what good works we were supposed to do. And we are his workmanship. We're created to do good works. We're not created to lie and steal and kill. No, we're created in him to do good works. He decides what those good works are. Then in Romans 9, 20 and 21, Paul says, nay, but O man, who art thou that replieth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? You know, when you're making pottery, when these people made pottery, they made some pottery. Some jars were going to be there to hold precious ointments or precious perfume. Some frankincense or some myrrh, maybe. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be one of those wonderful vessels that got to do that. Others were going to be pitchers or plates or bowls that were going to get to hold food and water and wine or whatever their purpose was for those things. And then there were going to be some others that were going to be used basically as toilets. They didn't have toilets at that day, but that's what they used. They'd have a bowl, a pot for that. Now, the one that was the pot, you're going to say, well, I wanted to be the vessel that carried the wine, or I wanted to be the one that was going to get to keep the myrrh in it. Now, see, the potter got to decide what clay was used for what. And sometimes we need to understand that as well. God does as he made us. He has the right, because He made us, to do what He wants with us, whether we like it or not. Now, we have two choices. We can either submit to His will and joyfully perform the service that He has put forth for us to do. Or we can rebel against Him all through our life and suffer for it eternally. You see, He's given us the choice in this life to be free. We don't have to obey Him in this life. But if we choose not to obey Him in this life, when it comes to judgment day, the freedom and the choice is gone. Then it will be His decision where to send us, because we've disobeyed Him. But if we joyfully serve Him in this life, then He has a reward waiting for us that's beyond any reward that we could possibly receive here. But you see, in all of these four areas, as soldiers, as ambassadors, as slaves, and as His creation, they're not things that we can just do part-time. They're not things that we can just do when we want to, or when we feel like it, or when it's convenient for us. We have to give our all. Christianity is not something that can be put on and off like a coat. I've heard folks talk about, I'll lay down my Christianity. Lay down your Christianity. If it's something that you can lay down, then you're not a Christian. Because Christians, that's what you are. It's not something that you can lay down or put off like a coat. I take my coat and I can take that off. Because it's not a part of me. But boy, I better not try to take off my skin. That hurts. Don't take off my Christianity. I'll lay it down. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. We can't do that. We're Christians. We are always Christian. Are you a Christian? Or do you just occasionally act like one? Now, there are some people that just they act like Christians sometimes whenever it's convenient. Well, they may be good actors, but they're not good Christians. We're soldiers for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are slaves to Christ. And we are His creation for Him to do it as He pleases, any time He pleases. We've got to realize that. All day, every day. No part-time Christian. God doesn't hire part-time. Now that doesn't mean someone, what are you saying? You're saying that a fellow couldn't be a preacher and just preach on the weekends and have a secular job? No, that's not what we're talking about. You mean you couldn't be the church secretary and just work a few hours? That's not what we're talking about. You know, a preacher has a certain work schedule that he works as a preacher, but even when he's not doing that work of a preacher, he's still a Christian. The Sunday school teacher has a certain time that he's teaching Sunday school, but even when he's not teaching Sunday school, Tyrone, you're still a Christian, aren't you? The song leader may be only sing songs for a few minutes of the service on Sunday. But Philip, you're still a Christian when you quit being the song leader, don't you? See, even though we have certain jobs, certain tasks that only take a part of our time, as Christians, we're still Christians even when we're not performing those particular jobs. Because there are certain jobs that we are to perform at all times. If you're here this morning, you haven't each responded to the invitation. Now is the time. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Oh, I know it doesn't sound very appealing, does it? Having to work all day, every day, being a soldier, being a slave, may not sound very appealing, but the reward is well worth it. The sacrifices that we make now will pay dividends beyond anything we can imagine. You're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you've been trying to be one part-time. You need to get on the full-time plan. You see, like most jobs, if you're only working part-time, you don't get the benefits. If you want to have the retirement plan, the 401k, or whatever that the company has, you've got to be full-time with the company. The profit sharing, the Christianity. Oh, you can be part-time and halfway do it, and you'll be miserable in this life and the next. Or you can decide, I'm going to go all the way, I'm going to be full-time, I'm going to be a Christian, regardless. And when you do that, when we make that choice, then and only then do we get the rewards in this life and the retirement plan that's to come. If you're here and you have a need to respond, yes, you do so as you stand.